welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of comedy. Later on, Art Linkletter hosts People Are Funny from 1954. But first, a broadcast of The Judy Canova Show. First heard on NBC on October 23rd, 1948.
The Judy Canova Show. Transcribed with Mel Blanc, Ruby Dandridge, Verna Felton, Sheldon Leonard, Joe Kearns, The Chaperones, Robert Armbruster and his orchestra, and starring Judy Canova.
Hello, Judy. What's going on here?
Oh, howdy, Miss Spears. Just a second. I'm fixing this television set.
Oh, be careful, Judy. Gee, you'll break the tubes in that set. Why are you hitting the cabinet with your bare fist?
Well, it says right here in the instruction book, to operate set, connect both wires with aerial and socket.
They mean the wall socket.
I'm sure looking forward to getting into television. Ooh, just think. In time, I'd meet all kinds of handsome lead men. Bart Gable, Tyrone Power, Robert Taylor.
Ah, poof, Judy. What have they got after you take away their charm and smiles and manners?
I don't know, but you can deliver me a carload of anything's left over. Oh, boy, I can just see myself in a love scene with one of them virile stars. He holds me tenderly in his masculine arms, looks in my big shining peepers, and he says,
"Pardon me for talking in your face, Senorita."
Oh, hello, Pedro. Say, where have you been all day?
Well, I was outside fixing the television aerial. I rubbed some garlic and Limburger on the lead-in wire.
Garlic and Limburger? What for?
Well, Senorita, you said you wanted the programs to come in stronger. Golly, someday I'll get my own television set. At my girl's house, we had an argument what program to tune in, and she was mad at me for 3 days.
Oh, Pedro, your girl is just making a mountain out of a molehill.
That's right. She has a shape like a mountain and a face like a molehill. And someday she is going to get her nose fixed, too.
Her nose fixed?
She's going to have it put back in the middle of her face.
Why, Pedro, I thought that you told me your girl was attractive.
Oh, she is. And she likes to smooch with me. Last night we was parked by a drive-in restaurant in the dark, and she gave me a kiss that burned my lips like an atomic bomb.
Oh, that must have been a pretty hot kiss.
See, that is the last time I kissed a girl who was eating enchiladas. I did something wrong. Well, Senorita, I will go now. Con mil amores.
So, con mil amores to you too, Faye.
Judy, I switched the television set back on. You see what I see?
Well, how do you like that? It's Mr. Hemingway, my house guest.
Yeah, that must be a movie they're showing. Look. He's wearing a Shakespearean costume. Listen.
Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I. For it cannot be, but I am pigeon-livered and lack the gall to make oppression bitter.
That's the reason television has it over radio.
Why?
Now you can see where the smell is coming from.
Is an ad for a television talent school. William Boswell Hemingway, instructor for the S.H. Yeister Talent School.
S.H. Yeister?
Yeah, that Shyster spelled sideways.
Well, if that isn't a laugh, that big ham instructs in other people.
Ladies, is this a private hen party or can anybody lay an egg?
Mr. Hemingway, we just saw you on that television movie.
I would much rather discuss the opportunities at my talent school for Miss Canova.
I went to one of them silly speech schools when I was living down in South Carolina. It was in,
Spartansburg?
No.
Greenville?
Charleston, Miss Canova?
No, thank you. I don't care to dance right now.
Miss Canova, isn't it painful to be a moron?
Well, I don't know. Are you suffering much?
Now, you listen, Hemingway. Judy is okay. person with natural talent doesn't need phony dramatic lessons. Look at me. Never had a lesson in my life. And when I step on a stage, my timing and carriage are perfect.
As I know, madam, but somewhere along the line, you should have your chassis overhauled and your rear... Miss Fierce, did you ever take a good look at those bow and arrow legs of yours?
Mr. Hemingway, I won't have you making cracks about my friend being bow-legged. You don't come across legs like Miss Fierce's very often.
Out of girl, Judy.
Yes, sir, legs like hers is few and far between. Didn't come out right, did it? Oh, that's the front doorbell. Oh, it must be my boyfriend, Joe. He said he was coming over to see the new television set. Hello, Joe.
Oh, dream girl.
Hi, Miss Pierce.
Hello, Joe.
How do you do, Mr. Crunch Milan?
Tell me, how would you like to be an actor in television?
Joe ought to be real great in television. He's got talent. Mr. Hemingway, is there any love scenes in this here sketch of yours? The American audiences really go for them romantic or smoochy scenes, you know.
Oh, young woman, you forget that I'm an Englishman. I take the continental approach to love.
Yeah, and by the time an Englishman gets around to kissing a girl's hand, an American has already married her and is passing out cigars. Say, I know. Why don't we do something real exciting like a gangster play?
Hey, you mean that I could play a tough character like Humphrey Bogart, huh? Or, you know, a real muscular guy with big bicycles?
And, you know, I could play a girl like Lauren Bacall. After all, what have I got that Lauren Bacall ain't got?
Judy, you got that backwards.
Yeah, I reckon that's the trouble. I got it backwards.
Hey, Judy, babe. Hey, listen, I've been thinking it over, and I am getting cold feet about this TV deal. I don't know.
Oh, don't say that, Joe. This could be your big chance to make good. You could go on television, be a success, then get married and raise bright, intelligent children. Don't wait till it's too late like your father did.
Well, the idea of being in show business, this does kind of appeal to me. I can admit that. I drive past Cary Grant's house, and I say to myself, I say, oh, I'd sure like to have his station wagon. And then I drive past Jimmy Stewart's house, I say, oh, I'd like to have his yacht. Then I drive past Harry James' house and...
Now, what would you do with a trumpet?
Now, here's Judy to sing one of her popular musical stories.
When I was born, my ma and pa, they looked at me and said, oh, Shaw. The doctor said, it's a girl, I think. And pa went out and got a drink. Then ma said, I look just like pa. And pa said, I took after ma. My aunt said maybe she'll fly away. And I've been a misfit to this day. Ooh. They always pick on me. They never let me be. I'm so very lonely, awful sad. It's been a long time since I've been glad. Now I know what I'll do. By and by, I'll eat some mud pies and then I'll die. And when I'm gone, just wait and see. They'll all be sorry that they picked on me. One morning, just at 4 o'clock, somebody tried to pick our lock. I knew it was Papa, sure as sin. So I opened the door and I let him in. My ma says, what time is it, Pa? It's 12 o'clock, my pa told ma. Just then the cuckoo cuckooed 4. And Pa made me cuckoo 8 times more. Cuckoo. They're gonna be sorry that they picked on me. 'Cause when I grow up, just wait and see how wonderful Prima Donna I'll be. And sing in grand opery.
Last-minute pep talk from Miss Pierce.
Maybe I'd better look over Hemingway's script before you go on the air. There may be some love scenes in it, and, well, let's face it, honey. Romance isn't your strong suit.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Listen here. You seem to forget that I was at a party last week where the girls ducked their heads in a tub of water and had to stay there till some fella volunteered to kiss them. Might interest you to know that I was pulled out of the water by six men.
What six men?
The Beverly Hills Pool Motor Squad.
Oh, hello, Miss Judy.
Oh, hello, Geranium. What's on your mind?
Well, honey, I wanted to tell you that if you go on television, I'll be able to watch it. Yeah, my boyfriend, Pomeroy, sent me a new television set for my birthday. Yeah, with three little words written on the tag.
What three little words, Geranium?
Love, Pomeroy.
Well, that's only two. What was the third word?
Collect. Pomeroy's broke since they stopped his unemployment insurance. Yeah, he made the mistake of listing his dependents.
How many dependents does he have?
Well, three, ma'am. Two bookers and a pinball machine.
Please, Radium. I ain't seen Pomeroy around here lately.
Well, he can't afford to take me out, Miss Judith, so I just stay home and read magazines. You know, true love and burning romances.
Does that make a good substitution for smooching, Geranium?
No, ma'am. But when I can't go out and cook with gas, I stay home and study the recipes.
Oh, Miss Pierce, gee, that joke coming to take me to the television studio.
Well, I'll see you later then. Good luck on the audition, honey.
Now, Miss Canova and Mr. Crunchmiller, go over those lines once more, please. Now, remember, Ricky the gangster and Audrey his moll are hiding in the farmhouse. Proceed.
Okay, Mr. Hemingway. Give me the QE line, Joe.
Yeah, okay, all right, babe. Here goes. Audrey, what are you doing here in the barn?
Me? I came here to eat the horse. He's outside.
Miss Canova, that should be... I came here to eat. The horse, he's outside.
Yeah, okay, all right. Audrey, I will have to leave today. I am going to use the horse to make my getaway.
Ricky, I don't blame you for itching to get away. After all, you have two fleas in your pajamas.
No, he has to flee to the Bahamas.
There. I've been looking over my script, and on page 7, it says that I kissed Judy.
Well, what about it?
Well, do I just pretend to kiss her, or do I really do it?
Oh, kiss her, of course. You're strong. You can take it.
Oh, now, there's the warning signal. We'll be on the air in half a minute, and Mr. Bradley will watch everything from his master screen. You and Ricky are hiding from the police in a barn. I want you to portray a girl with oomph in her voice. Something like Lauren Bacall.
Oh, yeah, I know. You mean like this.
If you want anything, just whistle.
Oh, splendid. Now, places, everybody.
Hey, Bamba. Come over here.
Okay, big boy. But your plan was fire.
Come here and sit on my lap. Well, baby, you're my idea of a pretty old-fashioned girl.
Am I, Ricky?
Yeah. After 6 old-fashions, you begin to look pretty. Come on, baby, kiss me.
Oh, Ricky, you're handsome, and I'm in the mood.
You really think I'm handsome?
When I'm in the mood, anybody's handsome. Oh, Ricky, it's so nice when you hold me close like this.
Yeah, baby. You know, you got something every man wants to have in his arms.
Feminine charm.
No, muscles. Come on, babe, I'm crazy about you. I want your lips. I want your lips.
Well, I ain't gonna break up a package for one item.
Let's turn on the radio, baby, and see if the cops have found our trail yet.
Attention, Ricky, the gangster. This is the chief of police. We've hunted and hunted for you, and you've escaped us so far. But I want you to know one thing.
What's that?
Oh, you make me feel so frustrated!
Let's turn that thing off, Richard. Turn that thing off. It worries me. Ricky, have you ever been shot at?
Have I ever been shot at? Why, sure I have. Just look out there on a clothesline. See that suit of long underwear I was wearing yesterday? The cops shot holes in it. It's full of bullet holes.
Oh, gosh, Ricky, how'd that big one get in back there?
Babe, it's built that way. Hey, Audrey, Audrey, it's the cops. We're done for.
Oh, no, it's me, Louis the Lost.
Hey, Louis, you're all beat up. Did the cops do it?
No, it was like this, Ricky. You see, I met a dame who was sitting around her apartment wearing gym shoes.
Well, how'd you get beat up?
Jim, come home. Hey, you. Hey, you got a cute little figure, babe.
Don't you make no play for my girl, Louie. I'm tough.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm tough too, Ricky. Take a look at this hula dance I got tattooed on my biceps. You know what happens when I flex my muscles up and down?
What?
My arm gets pooped. I'm mad about you, kid. Give me a kiss. Me. Kiss me. Well, are you going to, or ain't you?
Oh, I don't know yet. I don't know what my answer will be.
Why not?
I've lost my place.
Hello, you try to steal my girl, you horse thief. Step aside, babe. I'm gonna let this guy have it.
Hey, look! He shot the buttons off my coat! Hey, he shot the buttons on my vest! Hey, look, he shot the buttons on my suspenders!
Well, don't just stand there. Say something.
When he shoots again, the police will find my hideout!
Let's get over this picture with Joe Crunchmiller is just what we're looking for.
You mean you're really going to make a picture with Joe in it?
We certainly are. Then we'll seal it in a can, put it on a shelf, and age it for 20 years.
20 years? Then what'll you do with it?
Bring it out and show it on television.
Now, Judy and the Chaperones revive one of those real good oldies, I Don't Know Why I Love You Like I Do.
I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why, but I do. I don't know why you thrill me like you do. I don't know why, you just do. You never seem to want my romancing. The only time you hold me is when we're dancing. I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why, I just do.
Nice being with you tonight. This is Judy Canova from Hollywood saying good night, everyone.
The Judy Canova Show on Tuned to Yesterday from October 23rd, 1948 on NBC. This is an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Lifonier. Now time for a John Goodell production of People Are Funny. Goodell responsible for bringing Groucho Marx's comedy quiz series You Bet Your Life to life on radio and on television, which he did the same with People Are Funny in 1954. This a broadcast from the same year of its television debut from January 12, 1954 on CBS.
Would you welcome two perfect strangers right off the street into your home for dinner?
It might be worth your while if they're from
People Are Funny.
Yes, transcribed from Hollywood, John Goodell's production of People Are Funny, brought to you by Forever Yours and Milky Way Candy Bars, both quality bars made famous by Mars. And now here's radio's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
Well, here we are in sunny Southern California with a house loaded with tourists. Many of them are still here from the holidays and the New Year's, aren't you? Probably most of you are still here because you're broke. You can't get home. Well, I hope you win something tonight and have some fun with us. Of course, if you were home and you weren't here in Hollywood, you might have won a 1954 Hudson Jet automobile this past week. That's the compact edition of the fabulous Hudson Hornet. And all you had to do this past week was to be home and to identify the confidence man, Mr. X, who is currently traveling around the country for People Are Funny, showing how the various swindle rackets work. He'll report about what happened somewhere in the United States during this past week before we go off the air tonight. But right now, Roy Rowan, who's first to take a chance to prove that people are funny?
Mr. and Mrs. Donald McGee from Fort Rock, Oregon, meet Art Linkletter.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. McGee.
Hello.
What's the polite thing to say when I give you this big take-home box of 24 delicious Forever Yours candy bars?
Thank you very much.
Don't mention it. We'd like to give things to people on this show. By the way, what business are you in, Mr. McGee?
I have a small sawmill up in Oregon.
Any children, Mrs.?
I have a 5.5-year-old boy, David.
And you've been married, I presume, about...
8 years.
Uh-huh. Well, now, this is an interesting stunt that you two have happened to hit upon tonight. Last week, during the week, we mailed 3 very nice thank you presents out. They were lovely luncheon sets to 3 strangers who live here in Hollywood. Now, I say strangers because we don't know these people. They don't know each other, and I'm sure you don't know them. And we got their names out of a phone book. Now, we sent this note with each one of the presents we sent to these 3 people. Would you read it, Mrs. McGee?
It was awfully nice meeting you over the holidays, and we'll be glad to accept your invitation to dinner next Tuesday night at 8:30. Sincerely, John and Joyce.
John and Joyce. Now, you see, the basis of this stunt is that during the holidays, everybody goes to a lot of parties, and they meet a lot of people they never saw before, and they get chatting in a corner, and they didn't quite catch their name, and they find themselves inviting them to come over to the house sometime or another, and when they get home, they can't even remember who they were talking to during the evening. Well, we want to see if some of the people that we sent presents to are like the rest of us. They'll wonder who signed the note. So you notice we don't put the last name, John and Joyce. And they may wonder which party they met them at and who they are. But we know who they are, don't we, Mr. McGee?
Yes. We'll find out.
You're John.
I'm John.
Hello, Joyce.
Fine, how are you?
Yes, you two are going to be John and Joyce. And you're going to go to these houses and see if these people really took these notes and these presents for real. And if they've actually prepared dinner and are expecting a couple whose names they can't even remember. Now, here's the list of names and addresses. What do you think you'll say, Mr. McGee?
Well, I'm going to have to see the people first.
That's good, yeah. And you'll be real jovial now, Mrs. McGee, won't
you? Oh, yes.
Remember both of them. You have their names right here, uh-huh. You see. And you say, we're John and Joyce. Remember us. You're Happy New Year, pals.
Okay, we'll do it.
All right. Now, if they don't give you dinner, you know, if they don't go along with this thing, at least you ask for your present back.
that's your department.
What would you do you think, Mrs. McGee, if you happened to be a person who had received this present and note and this happened to you at your house?
At my house, well, I'd get my can opener out and I'd start fixing dinner.
You really would?
I would.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see what happens in Hollywood. Now, if they have prepared dinner for you, tell them it's the People Are Funny stunt. Bring them back to CBS if they fix dinner for you, and we'll give them a nice prize. If they haven't fixed dinner, you bring our present back.
Now, you have to take the present back if
they don't. No, just ask them for it. If
ask
they don't,
them for it.
If they don't give it back, at least they'll be embarrassed. Now, Irv Atkins will show you out to the neighborhood and drive the car and get you back on time. Have fun. Say goodbye to them, audience. You know, on these kind of stunts, when we make them up and figure them out in advance, we many times have big arguments as to how they're going to turn out, what's going to actually happen. I wonder if we have a lady who lives here in Los Angeles who thinks... is there anybody here who lives in Los Angeles? This lady over here. Mrs. who?
Mrs. James Kalebaugh.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from Edinburgh, Texas.
But now you live
yes,
here.
Yes, sir.
What do you think will happen?
Well, I believe they'll get their dinner.
Would you be willing to make a bet with me on it?
Well, I'm not a betting woman.
Well, let me tell you the bet. Now, you make up your own mind. I have no reason to think they will or they won't, you understand. There's nothing fixed up about this, but here's the bet. If, when they come back at the end of the show, if one or more of the three couples they call on actually has dinner ready for them, I'll give you a solid gold Whitnauer wristwatch for yourself. How's that sound?
Wonderful.
The other side of the coin is this. If they don't get any dinners, then sometime this week, you have to have them out to your house and cook dinner for them. Will you do it?
I sure will. I'll be glad to have them.
Now, your name, I want to be sure to locate you. You're Mrs.?
Mrs. James Kalebaugh.
Mrs. Kalebaugh. All right, Mrs. Kalebaugh, you sit right there. Keep your fingers crossed till the end of the show, and you might walk out of here with a beautiful solid gold wristwatch. Otherwise, we'll all be over at your house for dinner. Who's next, Roy?
Two married couples are Mr. and Mrs. Don Gessler and Mr. and Mrs. George Reed, but the husbands are being held off stage.
Oh, you're Mrs. Gessler?
Yes, I am.
And Mrs. George Reed?
Yes.
Now, you, your husbands are where?
Here.
Yeah, I mean, they're not on stage, are they, Mrs. Gessler?
Oh, they're backstage somewhere.
That's right, Mrs. Reed, Mrs. Gessler. We're holding your husbands in dressing rooms off stage just so they can't hear us now. We want to find out a little bit about you. What does your husband do, Mrs. Gessler?
He runs a Dairy Queen ice cream store and a drive-in.
Where?
In Worthington, Minnesota.
And Mrs. George Reed, what's your husband do?
He runs a hatchery back there and raises turkeys.
Oh, well, then your husbands work together, really.
No,
not exactly.
Huh?
Not exactly.
But they do business.
They cooperate.
Yeah, they're good pals.
Mm-hmm. Sure. They're good pals.
This is so important. So important. They are good pals. Mm-hmm. How long have they known each other, Mrs. Reed?
Oh, 4 or 5 years.
By the way, how'd you happen to come to the show tonight, Mrs. Reed?
Well, we just thought we'd enjoy it.
Well, that's good. That's why I'm here, too. Here's why we've kept your husbands off stage. We want to find out how really good friends they are, what pals they can be under rather trying circumstances. Now, we're going to bring them both on stage and have a simple little contest. One of them will win, and the winner gets his choice of two prizes, a valuable prize and a fairly inexpensive prize, and the loser, of course, gets the one that the winner doesn't pick. Now, when I point out that the winner can give his pal a bad shake by taking the good prize, he is probably going to take, if he's a real good friend, he'll probably take the cheaper prize for himself. What do you think? Do you think your husband would, Miss Gessler?
I think he'll take the cheaper prize for himself.
Mrs. Reed, what do you think about your husband?
Well, I don't know. He might.
Yeah, well, wait till you see how I put it. yes, by the way, there's one extra little catch here. When the contest is over, I'll call the wife of the winner up here. Might be you, Mrs. Gessler. Might be you, Mrs. Reed. If you can convince your husband to be selfish and keep the expensive prize for himself without revealing why you want it, I'll give you a more expensive prize than ever. And that's a 21-inch Stromberg Carlson television set. There is nothing finer than a Stromberg Carlson. Now, you can't tell him that you're going to get anything, but I just want you to overcome his noble impulses.
Well, how about that?
That ought to be kind of interesting. See, we got things going in every direction here. I don't know what's going to happen. All right, you ladies can just stand right over there. We'll bring the husbands back now, Mr. Goodell. You see, we've got all kinds of conflicts set up here. Come right in, fellas. We found out a little bit about you. Which is the one who grows the gobblers?
Reese.
Mr. Reese, how do you do, sir? How was the turkey crop this year?
Very good.
Good, good. How was business with you, Don?
Very good.
You are good friends?
Very good.
You really are, Don?
Yes, we are.
Do almost anything for each other?
Sure would.
How about it, George?
No, I think I would.
Yeah, well, that's just what I... Now, we're going to have a little contest between these two great and good friends. We're going to have a simple little game. It's called a word game. And I'm going to give you 15 seconds to think of as many words as you can that the first word that I give you reminds you of. In other words, first word, if I gave you the word... Apple, you might say apple reminds me of fruit. Fruit reminds me of peaches. Peaches remind me of milk. Milk reminds me of cows. Cows remind me of mother, a home, or whatever you want to do. You got that?
Yep.
15 seconds. And your word, Mr. Don Gessler, is money. Ready, go.
Money reminds me of billfold. Billfold reminds me of leather. Leather reminds me of cows. Cows remind me of horses. Horses remind me of pigs. Pigs remind me of... corn. Corn reminds me of farm.
Time's up.
That's pretty good. How many did you get, John?
7.
Thank you. Now, we go to Mr. Reed. Your word in 15 seconds, Mr. Reed, is wife. Ready, go.
Wife reminds me of house. House reminds me of woman. Woman reminds me of trouble. Trouble reminds me of worries. Worries reminds me of correcting the worries. And
Correction, reminds me of trying to get along with my wife.
So you live a dangerous life between the turkeys and the wife, don't you? Who won, Mr. Goodell?
Mr. Reed got six, so Mr. Gessler wins with seven.
Well, now, Mr. Don't go away, Mr. Reed. Mr. Gessler, this is the way the thing works out. You see, for your prize as the winner, you get your choice of either one of two things. There's a $30 clock radio. There's a $7.50 sports shirt. Now, you keep one for yourself, and the other one goes to your pal, George Reed. Now, it's entirely up to you. You can keep the better prize for yourself or be unselfish. Be a good sport.
Well, I think I'd like to see George have the radio. I need a sports shirt.
What do you think of that, George?
Well, that's very nice.
Isn't that swell, folks, that he gave away the big prize? And I think that proves... you know, this was a test of your friendship, and it has definitely proved, Mr. Gessler, that you are a good friend of his. We wanted to find out if you would give him the big one. Now, I didn't influence you, did I?
No, not at all.
You would have given it to him, even if I hadn't said unselfish?
Sure, surely.
Mrs. Gessler has come up to the microphone. What did you have something to say?
Well, he won it. I kind of like the clock radio.
Oh, but,
Well, I'll buy you a sports shirt.
Well, I don't know. It's entirely... You folks can, huh?
After all, they're our guests today.
Well, we don't have... I know. Maybe he doesn't want it.
Do you want the clock radio, Mr. Reed?
Yeah, I'd sure like to have it, but...
Well, I don't know. Gessler, it's up to you. You're his wife, and you have a right to get into the argument before the prizes are distributed.
Well, it's my opinion. We need one of those in the kitchen. And in the living room, or in Jane's room, too.
Oh, we have one in the bedroom.
Yeah, but if that's only one...
Turn it up.
Well...
Make it louder, uh-huh.
Well, I like it in the living room so that I can... when I take a nap, I can set it. It wakes me up in time for the next program.
Well, I tell you, I'll take the sports shirt and buy you a clock radio.
Well, I guess that does it, folks. That's your decision, I tell you. Mrs., you get the radio. Mr. Reed, you're the loser. You like that?
Very much.
That's a clock radio. And Mr. Gessler, you have no idea what you just did. You just lost your wife. What did he lose you, Mrs. Gessler?
Television set.
Yes, we told her. We told her she could talk you into keeping the bigger prize for yourself. We'd give her a 21-inch Stromberg Carlson television set with panoramic vision. Now, what do you think?
I can't buy her one of those.
Well, anyhow, you got a good sports shirt, didn't you?
Yes, I hope it'll be a good one.
However, on this program, we like to reward unselfishness and friendship. And since you are obviously a very sincere friend of this guy and you won't even let your wife talk you out of it, Forever Yours is going to give you the television set, Mr. Gessler. And, just remember this one thing. If during an evening there's any argument as to what program is to be turned on, you're the one who gets the choice.
I should have it.
And if she hasn't been a good wife, she can't even watch it. Goodbye, Mrs. Gessler.
Goodbye, Mrs.
Thanks to all of you for proving that people are funny.
And remember, always make yours forever yours.
Who's next, Roy?
Art, it's a man nobody knows, Mr. X.
Oh, yeah, I love this stunt. Mr. X is coming on stage now. He's been here the last 2 weeks, and we sent him out across the United States to prove that people are not only funny, but they're pushovers for a confidence game well presented. Now, Mr. X, we're not giving you a real name because of the nature of the stunt. What was your first week swindle on the American public? You went to the state of Missouri in several towns a week ago for that.
That's right, and I operated as a rug cleaner. I walked into homes and told people that I'd clean their rug for them for $5. The average price is $20, providing that the woman would pass out my cards and permit me to use her name. In other words, an old gimmick, something for nothing. I picked up six rugs, I believe, and I never turned them back. You did, but not me.
In other words, they even helped him roll up the rugs and take him out and put him in a wagon. They didn't know who he was, had no credit references or anything, and away he went with their rugs. Just because the ladies thought they'd get a bargain. Now, we promised that the first person who said, "You're Mr. X from People Are Funny," would receive from Forever Yours a brand new 1954 Hudson Jet car. Nobody did it the first week, right?
No one.
Now, what kind of a game did you work last week? You told people last week before you went that it was to be mostly in hotel lobbies. That's all that you tipped them off to. What part of the country did you go to?
I went to Florida.
What kind of hotels did you go to? Medium?
Medium class.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was the racket you worked?
I worked a little dandy. This one is called the Hidden Peeper. I used an accomplice, like I told you.
Mm-hmm.
This fellow walked in advance of me, and he had a black patch over his eye. And he let it be known that he had lost his glass eye. And he wanted to get this eye back because he couldn't replace it. And he offered a reward of $50 to anyone who would return him that glass eye.
And where did he tell them they could find him?
He gave them a room number where they could locate him.
And then he left.
And then he left. Now I walked in.
Ah.
And I sat down on one of the chairs in the first hotel lobby that I went to. And I just sat there, put my hand in between the padding of the Davenport there, and I came up with this eye.
You had it in your hand all the time.
I had it in my hand all the time.
Now, you were sitting next to somebody who looked like a good prospect?
A woman.
Huh?
And when I took this eye out, I said, "Well, what do you know? Look at this. This is something nice." I says, "I wonder what it is. My kids will have a great time with this at home." "Why," she says, "that belongs to a man. He was in here looking for that eye. He offered a $50 reward for it."
In other words, this woman was perfectly honest.
Absolutely honest. I was frustrated.
But then how did it work in the other direction?
Now, the next place I went to, practically the same thing happened. A man this time. He says, "The fellow offered $50. I said, "Look, I'm in a hurry. I'll tell you what, give me 10 and you go ahead and take the 50. He says, "Sure," and he gave me $10.
And then, of course, when he went to find out where the man was in the room, there was no such a man and no such a room.
No such body, no, sir.
In all the places you went, how many times did it work?
It worked 8 times.
8 times people paid you money. What was the most you got for the eye?
$25. And they stuck with the 25-cent glass eye.
Now, you were going to continue the rug cleaning racket during the last week because we want both of them to keep running. Now, what happened about the rugs? Did you get some more rugs?
Yes, I did. I like that very much. That rug racket, I think, is the best.
Yeah. The housewives really go for that.
Oh, they eat it up.
Now comes the big Hudson Jet question. Did anybody recognize you as Mr. X from People Are Funny and claim the reward?
You know, one woman almost had me. I thought I was dead.
What happened?
Well, she kind of stuttered. And she kept looking at me while I'm discussing this rug with her. And she's X. And I thought I was dead. I says, "What's that, madam?" She says, "You remind me of my ex-husband."
Well, as long as they don't say, "Are you Mr. X?" they do not get the car. Now, in addition to the rug cleaning racket and the glass eye game, you still got some glass eyes left.
Yes, I have.
What's your plan for next week?
I'm going to run an ad in the newspapers. It'll be a small ad. It'll be an innocent-looking ad. And that's all I'm going to say.
And you'll get people to come and answer that, and then you'll swindle them.
It will involve a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I must be sure to report that following each one of these swindles during the past week, we return the money to the people, as we do the rugs, and in every case, immediately following the fact that they did not identify our Mr. X, their money is returned and a small present is given to them. And we'll take care of your expenses as usual. You will fly out on TWA, the big 300-mile-an-hour Constellation, any place you want to go. And remember, no swindling on the airplane.
No swindling on the airplane.
All right. Listen, everybody, hold on to your pocketbooks. Watch out for Mr. X. If he tries to pull the rug swindle, the glass eye switch, or the new ad routine that we can't tell you about, if you say, "Are you Mr. X from People Are Funny?" he will hand you the keys to America's most beautiful car for its weight and its price, a 1954 Hudson Jet. So beware and be ready, and so long, Mr. X. See you next Tuesday night. Goodbye. It's a lot of fun to make up limericks. You ever try to do it? Here's one. There was a young man from Tacoma who checked on candy aroma, and he found that by far, Forever Yours is the bar that most people like to take home of. At the beginning of the show, we sent a couple from Oregon who runs a sawmill up there, Mr. and Mrs. McGee, out into Hollywood to call at the homes of three total strangers and claim they met them during the holiday season and that they'd been invited there for dinner tonight. We had picked the houses at random from the phone book. During this past week, we'd sent each one a lovely luncheon set with a note signed simply John and Joyce. Well, our two contestants are back, so send them in and let's hear what happened during the past 25 minutes. Mr. and Mrs. McGee. Well, now, Mrs. McGee, supposing you tell us what happened at the first house.
At the first house, Dolly rang the bell, and you were greeted by Mr. Miller.
The luncheon set had arrived.
The luncheon set had arrived, and we walked in, and I seen the most beautiful table set with turkey dinner and everything.
Is this right, Mr. McGee?
That's right. She even had a beautiful three-decker cake, and when she heard that you was mixed up in this deal, she threatened you with it.
Well, let's bring this couple in. We'll take them one at a time here. Here she comes bearing a great big cake. Oh, look at the cake with all of the nuts on top. What's that?
You have to eat it, too.
Well, I'd be delighted to eat it. Mrs. Miller, how do you do? And Mr. Miller, how are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
Here's what I want to find out. When the luncheon set arrived toward the middle of the week, did you argue among each other as to whether it would be somebody you knew or something?
No, we just sat there in a chair and was wondering who John and Joyce was.
You'd been to some parties, hadn't you, that you...
Well, her brother from Camp Rucker is out here in the Army, and her mother and father from Wichita. And we'd had lots of guests. We'd been to Newport and all around, taking them around, showing them. And I told her we'd goof somewhere or other because this was one I didn't remember.
Now, let's see what happened at the second house.
Well, we went up the door of Mr. and Mrs. Sheely and rang the bell, and we told them that we were John and Joyce, and they seemed rather dubious, and they didn't know just what to think, and then Mr. Sheely come out, and he looked me over pretty good. He's trying to think of where he'd seen me last or if he'd ever seen me before, but they had some beautiful steaks all ready for the broiler for us, and the table was all set, and they were just waiting our arrival.
Well, are they here now? Hello, Mrs. Sheely. How do you do, Mr. Sheely? What business are you in?
Well, I'm just in the motion picture business.
What do you do for them?
I'm an art director and set designer.
For which studio?
MGM.
Did you argue with each other, or did you try to recollect when the present arrived with a note?
Definitely.
When the box arrived, it was a very beautiful present.
Yes.
And the nice little card said, I'll be over...
Tuesday?
We'll accept your invitation Tuesday at 8:30. Yeah. Besides, anybody that would send such a lovely present, I'd certainly have to have a lovely dinner for them.
Well, now, I tell you, what happened at the third house, Mrs. McGee?
Well, they didn't have nothing for us.
They did? Did they have any excuses, Mr. McGee?
Well, the biggest excuse was it seemed that they'd been out of town and hadn't had any parties over the holidays and was quite certain that they didn't meet any John and Joyce.
Well, did they seem to feel that you were interlopers or accuse you of anything?
No, they were youngsters, really, and Simon Legree, I asked for the present back.
And then, oh, you did. What they?
And they were going to give it back.
They
were going to give it back.
They were ready to give it back.
And we let them keep it. My heart melted, so I let them keep it.
You let them keep my present. Well, I'm glad you did. If they were out of town, they had a perfectly good reason. But I think, in fact, I am amazed that we got two out of the three. And we kind of upset your evening, you folks who came back here. And we want to send back to your homes for each of you, as a little token of our appreciation, a wonderful Westinghouse electric blanket for you to use right in your own home. Do you like that?
I love it.
All right. And John and Joyce, we have for you, as our experimentalists, a beautiful tap and gas range for your home.
Oh.
Huh?
Thank you.
It has all the exclusive tap and features, and good foods just happen when you're cooking on a tap and you'll never have to go out and cadge food anymore. Who do we have on stage? Who is this? Oh, our lady from Texas?
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Calabaugh.
Calebaugh.
Calebaugh.
Yes, sir.
She is the wife of a carpenter, and she was down in the audience in the early part of the show after you two left, Mr. and Miss McGee. We went down, and you bet me what?
I bet you that they would get a dinner.
You thought that people were nice.
Yes, sir.
And people would have a dinner ready for them.
Well, you won a solid gold Wittenauer wristwatch from the Longines Wittenauer Watch Company as a reward for having faith in human nature. And we want to thank all of you for proving that people are wonderful. Good night. Well, that's about it for tonight, but next week, who knows, somebody might have caught Mr. X and won himself a brand new Hudson Jet, the car that's not only easy to handle or drive or park in traffic, but it's easy on the gas and it seats 6 people. Now, before I say goodbye, do you know that 1 million children are getting into trouble with the law each year? You can do something to help our children in these troubled times. Why don't you be a big brother and lend a helping hand to a little feller who needs a friend? Write the Big Brothers of America, Philadelphia 3, Pennsylvania. Now, this is Art Linkletter saying goodnight from Hollywood and reminding you that you can't miss on those 2 candy friends from Mars, Milky Way, and its first cousin, Forever Yours. Remember, for dark chocolate goodness, always buy Forever Yours candy bars. Get them in handy 6-packs or 24-bar boxes. Good night.
People Are Funny is brought to you by Forever Yours Candy Bars, that dark chocolate-covered favorite. Remember, when your taste tells you light, pure milk chocolate over chocolate malted milk nougat, ask for Milky Way. But when dark chocolate is your wish, Forever Yours is your dish. Milky Way, Forever Yours. 2 quality candy bars made famous by Mars.
People Are Funny, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 12th of January, 1954, on CBS. Wrapping up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.